Well, I'm excited this morning, okay, because we're going to kick off a brand new series. If you were here a few weeks ago, you know that we wrapped up our series on the parables of Jesus. As my wife, you know, Pastor Stacy, she really did a beautiful job looking at the whole summer series and weaving it all together. She really did an amazing job, and if you missed that message, I would encourage you to go and to watch it and to listen to it online. And if you've ever heard my wife Stacy speak, you know that she's a phenomenal speaker. Every time she gets up here, she does an amazing job. But I think this might have been one of her best messages. The way she brought everything together, it was just an amazing message. So I encourage you to go check it out. And then last week, we had my buddy Tyler, who came up from Eugene, and shared with us from Acts 10, which was another great message on vision. And so I just encourage you, if you've missed some of those messages, to go and to check them out. But today, as I mentioned, we're jumping into a new series. Now, I know that some of you are aware of the podcast that our denomination put out this last summer, titled The Same Jesus. We had actually promoted it a little bit in the bulletin. You'll see it at times on the screen announcements. I've talked to a few of you here about it. It's a great podcast that focuses on some of the key elements of what the Foursquare Church is all about. And as I listened through this podcast, I was continuously encouraged about what it means to be part of a Foursquare church. And really the foundational principles that our Foursquare denomination was founded on. And I was encouraged by it so much that I felt like God was leading me to do an entire series on Foursquare. And so today, we're beginning a new series titled, What is Foursquare? Now, that word can evoke many different thoughts, right? When we hear that word Foursquare, you know, some of you may think of the old school game, right, with the little red ball that you play in the squares, you know? Remember that at recess, at least the older generation? You guys remember that? Some of you may remember there was, in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, there was the old social media app titled Foursquare that allowed you to discover and share information about businesses in your area. There's also, believe it or not, a rum distillery in Barbados that distributes Foursquare rum, right? Has nothing to do with the church, okay? And if you were a snowboarder in the late 90s to early 2000s, you might be familiar with the Foursquare snowboarding gear. Their company was Foursquare. It was actually really cool in my youth pastor days because they had some really cool sweatshirts and some cool designs with Foursquare on them. And I used to buy those and wear those all the time. As a matter of fact, my youth design was based off that Foursquare design for a while. And so it was a pretty cool company. But when people hear the word Foursquare, they can think of all different things. And so when people hear that we're a Foursquare church, the common question is, what? Foursquare? Why? What does that even mean? What does it mean to be Foursquare? Why are you called Dallas Foursquare Church, right? Do you guys, you know, take a break during the service and go out and, you know, bounce the ball around? I mean, why are you called a Foursquare Church? And so that's what this series is about. And my hope is to help us fully understand what it means for us to be a Foursquare church. And to start off, I want to give us a little history on our denomination. Our denomination is officially known as the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel. And it was founded in Los Angeles in 1923, 100 years ago. We're actually celebrating our 100 years this year. And it was founded by a woman named Amy Simple McPherson. And yes, the founder of our denomination was a woman, which for some reason is challenging for many people in today's society, right? Many people struggle with that in today's world. And if you struggle with that, go back to April 3rd, 2022 and listen to my message on women in ministry. I encourage you to do that. But you can imagine, if we struggle with it today, you can imagine that it was scandalous for a woman to start a denomination back in the 1920s. But when you look at what God has done through the Four Square Church, it's hard not to see God's hand at work from the very beginning. And here's the thing, like any denomination, we have flaws. We're imperfect along the way. We have messed up. We have failed. Every denomination has their struggles. Pastor Amy was imperfect. There are many things that people read about Pastor Amy, especially in her later years, and their struggles with that. And the reality is we're real. We're real people. We fail. Pastors make mistakes. And so the Four Square Church is not perfect. But the more and more I discover about Foursquare and the foundations that our denomination was built on, the heart of Amy when she planted this church, the more thankful I am that I get to be a part of this amazing denomination. And as I say that, one of the things I love about Foursquare is that we realize it's not all about Foursquare. On the cornerstone of Angelus Temple, the very first church built in 1923 that they began the Four Square denomination in, Angelus Temple there, it's still there today, you can still see the inscription. There was this inscription on the cornerstone that said these words, "Dedicated unto the cause of interdenominational and worldwide evangelism." Interdenominational means that we work with other denominations. We know it's not just about us. And from day one, Pastor Amy knew that it wasn't about her. It wasn't about Foursquare. It was about Jesus Christ. And she knew that we would reach more people for the kingdom, more people for Jesus, if we linked arms with other denominations. And it's something we still believe today. This is why we pray. That's why for me, when I planted this church, God said to pray for other churches in our community. That's why we pray for other churches here on Sunday mornings, because we know that it's all about Jesus and we're partnering together. And yes, I am happy to be a part of Foursquare, but there are a lot of great denominations out there. And so we partner together. We're interdenominational. And so as we kick off this series, I want to start by looking at the fact that we are a denomination that is Jesus-centered, right? And that sounds kind of funny. Wait, what? Shouldn't every church be Jesus-centered? Well, we should be. But sometimes we can get off track on other things. We can focus too much on the Holy Spirit. We can focus too much on worship, this, that, and lose track that we are a Jesus-centered movement. As you walk up the stairs here in our church, into our sanctuary, you see four squares on the wall with a scripture. And we have that to go up on the board so you can see it in case you missed it when you walk in today. But that is on that wall when you walk up here coming to the sanctuary. And I want to start this morning by taking a look first at the scripture that's on that picture. It is our four square denominational scripture. And we are required, according to our bylaws, to have it visible somewhere in the church because it's something that we strongly believe in. The scripture you can see there is Hebrews 13:8, which says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And for us to fully understand this scripture and what it truly means, I think we first need to understand a little bit about the book of Hebrews, because that's where you find this scripture. It's in Hebrews. It's towards the end of Hebrews. And so I think it's important that we know what this book of Hebrews was about. That this book of Hebrews is actually written to Jews that have come to believe in Jesus. And because this is written to Jewish people, the author continues to reference scripture from the Old Testament, scriptures that these Jewish people would have known, that would have had great meaning to them. And something that I actually found interesting in this is that there are more references to the Old Testament in the book of Hebrews than in any other book in the New Testament. And the reason for this is that the author is painting this picture of Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises. All the promises that we see in the Old Testament, the Messiah that's coming, right? Jesus is the fulfillment of those promises. And I love the way Pastor A.J. Svoboda in the podcast, how he said this. In the podcast, he shared that the whole point of Hebrews 13:8 is that the author wants to reveal to us that the power of Jesus does not expire. The power of Jesus does not expire. So that's the whole point of Hebrews 13:8. And I think one of the reasons that this is our denominational verse is because a big part of what we believe as a denomination is that the power of God is not a past tense experience. The power of Jesus is not past tense. Jesus, in fact, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the power that we saw happen the very beginning in creation, right? To create all things. The same power that we saw happen in the life of Jesus as he rose from the grave is the same power that is at work here in our world today. Pastor Amy used to ask this question in some of her sermons. She said, is Jesus the great I was, or is he the great I am? Right? I love that. Is he the great I was, or is he the great I am? Now, the thing is, there are denominations in our world that don't actually have this same belief. That there are denominations that don't believe Jesus is still working today in the way that he did in the times of the New Testament. Some people think that some of those works have expired. They were for back then, they're not for today. That there are denominations that don't believe this aspect of what we believe. And so our belief in regards to this scripture, I think it's an important theological perspective. Because when we believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it enables us to live with a hopeful anticipation, right? That Jesus still does the miraculous. We can still expect to see miracles today in our lives. And that is what we are saying as a denomination when you see that verse up on the wall, when you see that verse up there on the screen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It means that we believe that we can pray with power and we can walk in faith because the same Jesus that did miracles back then is the same Jesus that does miracles through us today. Amen. So I love this verse, and it's a powerful statement of what we believe as a Foursquare Church. It's why it is our scripture. But then you see we have the four squares, the true basis of the name for square. And as you come up the stairs, you see those four squares on the wall, and those four squares represent the fourfold ministry of Jesus. It actually comes from the vision of Ezekiel. And so I want to talk and take a look at these squares this morning and what they represent. And so the first one we see there is the square with the cross. And this represents the fact that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our Savior. We believe that Jesus came to this earth and died on a cross and rose again to save us from our sins. In Matthew 1:21, it tells us, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save us. He is our Savior. But the big question, the big question many people have is, why do I need to be saved? I'm a good person. I don't do bad things. Why do I need a Savior, right? We hear that all the time in the world. And the short answer is this. Because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. In Romans 5, it tells us that through Adam, sin entered the world, and that sin was passed on to every generation. And so the reality is all have sinned, right? All have sinned. All have fallen short. So it's really the same way that we inherit characteristics, right, from our parents and our grandparents. We have inherited our sin nature from Adam and Eve, from the fall. It's been inherited down to us. This was all a result of the fall of Adam and Eve. But the good news is this. In that very moment, God didn't abandon Adam and Eve. When they fell, He didn't abandon them. Instead, He went to them, right? He sought them out. He went, look, they were hiding, but He went to them. And He began this process of redemption. He set in motion from that moment a plan that would enable all people the opportunity to be saved. And the entire Old Testament was leading to the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who paid the price for our sin on the cross. Jesus became our Savior when He made a way for us to experience salvation. And the interesting thing about salvation, this salvation, being saved, is that it comes to us actually in three different ways. Let me explain what I mean. The first is this: we have freedom from the penalty of sin. That's the past. We have freedom from the penalty of sin. We have freedom from our past, our struggles, our failures. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, then we have been saved and set free from the penalty of sin and death. It's something that has happened already for us if we are followers of Jesus. We have been saved. Past tense. It has happened. And we see this past tense really talked about numerous times throughout the Scriptures. I want to share one for you just to explain what I'm talking about. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace we have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." We have been saved, right? God has made a way for all of us to be free from the penalty of sin. And all throughout the Scriptures, we find passages that describe salvation in this idea of something that has already happened to us in the past tense. We have been justified by faith in Christ, and that faith has made us righteous through Jesus and what He did for us. It's something that has already taken place. We have already received His salvation. But then the second aspect of salvation is that we have freedom from the power of sin. The present, right? Sin is powerful. We feel this draw to sin, but we actually have freedom from the power of sin. You see, when we say yes to Jesus and choose to follow Him, His Spirit comes and lives in us. God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us overcome the power of sin in our world. And though we have been saved in the past tense, the fact is salvation is something that we continue to grow in. We continue to learn and grow in the Holy Spirit and grow in the Lord so that we can continue to overcome the sins of this world. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul tells the believers in Corinth, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And he says there, to us who are being saved, right? Being saved. This points out the fact that salvation is an ongoing process. Not only have we been saved from our past, but we're continuing to be saved. God is continuing to help us overcome sin and continue to heal us and help us when we fail. Philippians 2:12 is another example of this, as Paul tells us to continue to work out our salvation, right, with fear and trembling. To work out our salvation. It's continuing to seek the Lord and allowing Him to move in us so that we can overcome the sins and the struggles of this world. We're on a journey of discovering what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be saved, what it means to say no to the sins and the struggles of this world. And as we continue to seek Him, we grow in the freedom from the power that sin has in our lives. The more we are filled with His Spirit, the more we can overcome the things of this world. And then the third aspect of salvation is that we have freedom from the presence of sin. That's the future. At the end of Romans 13:11, Paul tells us that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. It's nearer now than we first believed. Now, again, he's writing to Christians here. But he says our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, they're already Christians, right? Haven't they already experienced salvation? Yet he says our salvation is nearer now than it's ever been. Paul isn't referring to their past or present salvation. He's talking about our future salvation. The salvation that all of us, I hope, are looking forward to. He's thinking about the return of Jesus and the ultimate freedom from the presence of sin when we will be no longer in the presence of sin and darkness. As I mentioned earlier, all of us have sinned and still struggle with sin. None of us have experienced freedom from the presence of sin. It's all around us. We live in a fallen, broken world. But this here is the ultimate victory that we have to look forward to. A life free of sin. It's hard for us to imagine, huh? Because all we've ever experienced is a broken world. But can you imagine having no anxiety, no fears, no struggles, nothing but joy and the goodness of God in your heart? Man, that's what I look forward to. This is why Jesus came to save us. This is why we call Jesus Christ our Savior. And so the first square represents Jesus Christ our Savior. The second square has a dove on it, and it represents the belief that Jesus Christ is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about this aspect of Jesus today, and that's because I actually plan on dedicating an entire message to it later in the series, because it's a huge aspect of who we are as a Four Square Church. We are a Pentecostal movement, and we believe in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we first hear about this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Matthew 3:11, when John the Baptist says these words, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And who's he talking about there? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is going to baptize us with Holy Spirit and fire. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different than water baptism. That's what John the Baptist was doing. It's what we do here sometimes on Sunday mornings, right? Right up here, we bring in the pool and we baptize people. It's different. Water baptism is what we consider an outward expression of an inward change, right? We've given our life to Jesus. We've choose to follow Him, and He commands us to be baptized. And so we go into the water, and basically, if you've ever been here, I just dunk someone underwater, right, and bring them back up. But there's a purpose for that. That this kind of baptism represents us literally going down into the grave with Jesus, right? He died. Going down into the grave and raising like He did to our new life in Him. That's what water baptism represents. It's an outward expression of an inward change. We've said yes to Jesus, and now our life is different. We have risen with Him. We have new life in Him. And so That's water baptism. It's a wonderful representation and celebration of our new life in Christ. But as John the Baptist mentions here in 3:11, this baptism of the Holy Spirit is different. It's what happened at Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit fell on the believers in the upper room, you can read about it in Acts 2. We'll talk about it later in the series. But it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all the believers that were there. And it empowered them to do great works for the Lord. They were able to do things that they weren't able to do before. But the thing we have to understand is that as a Foursquare church, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe that God wants to pour out His Spirit on all of us so that we can go and be His disciples to all nations, so that we can go and be His disciples to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our family, to our friends. And here's the thing, it doesn't have to be weird and crazy, right? Because I know as soon as I mention Pentecostal, people are like, oh, wait, am I in the right church? Is this where I want to be? It doesn't have to be weird and crazy. I know we've heard all the stories of Pentecostal churches, right? Rolling in the aisles, swinging from the rafters, you know? Some people say swinging from the chandeliers. I'm like, what church has chandeliers in it? I don't know, but I think it's swinging from the rafters. But one of the things about Foursquare is that our denomination as a whole doesn't mean you won't find some out there, right? Because every denomination has churches that are, you know, completely different sometimes from their denomination. But as a whole, pride ourselves in order. That we keep order when it comes to this aspect. And that all comes back to the reality that we are a Jesus-centered denomination. Oftentimes in Pentecostal settings, I think the problem is it's real easy for it to all of a sudden become about self, right? It's all about us. Oh, I'm a prophet. Let me tell you what the Lord wants to speak. And now all of a sudden, instead of the things that God spoke to you originally, now you just start to spout out things that aren't true. It becomes about self. We try to create or oftentimes recreate. Something happened in the service. It was awesome. Oh, we want to recreate it. What were we doing? Oh, I believe we were standing like this and we were, you know, doing this. And oh, yeah, someone in the room had, you know, we make up these weird things. We try to recreate what happened. And that's what freaks people out about Pentecostalism, right? And then our emotions take over, and then it's no longer the Holy Spirit. It's just us being crazy and scaring people away from church. That's not who we want to be as a Foursquare church. Because what I believe, when the Holy Spirit moves, lives are impacted and changed. When the Holy Spirit moves, miracles begin to happen. And we know that God has given us His Spirit for this very reason. It's why we believe that Jesus Christ is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. So the first square represents Jesus Christ, our Savior. The second represents Jesus Christ, the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. The third square has a cup or a chalice on it. This symbolizes the cup, the blood, right, of Jesus. And the fact that Jesus Christ is our healer. Jesus is our healer. He came to heal us. Now again, I'm not going to talk a whole lot on this subject because it's also one of the topics that's going to be in our series later. But our Foursquare movement, it is known for the healing power that Jesus has done in and through it. If you read books of the early days of Pastor Amy and the early ministry there at Angelus Temple, there are numerous stories of how doctors and hospitals would send ambulances full of people to their healing services. And people would literally walk out of the church completely healed. Sent there on an ambulance bed, right? And they would stand up and walk out healed. As a matter of fact, it was interesting on the Same Jesus podcast, AJ Sabota talked about the fact that they still have a room today at Angelus Temple that is full of wheelchairs, crutches, splints, All these things that were left behind by people that walked in there sick and walked out healed. It's amazing. It's amazing when you hear what God did through the early Foursquare Church. And so we believe that the same Jesus that healed the blind and raised the dead in the Bible is the same Jesus that continues to heal today. We believe that the same Jesus that healed the blind and raised the dead is the same Jesus that heals in our church, not just 100 years ago in Angelus Temple, but right here in our church today. And that healing work, it goes beyond physical healing. He's healing hearts. He's healing minds. He's doing the miraculous in the lives of people all throughout our world. And as a Foursquare church who believes that Jesus Christ is our healer, we here have seen evidence of that in people's lives. If you were here at our anniversary service in 2022, you know that God has called us to be a house of miracles. And we've seen miracles since then. So we are continuing to put our faith and trust in Him and believe that Jesus Christ is our healer. Amen? And then the final square that completes the four squares is the one with the crown on it, which represents the fact that Jesus Christ is our soon and coming King. Hebrews 9:28 tells us, Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Jesus came and died on the cross to save us from the penalty of sin. We talked about that earlier, right? But then He ascended into heaven, left His followers to go, right? He said, I'm leaving, but you need to go and share the gospel. Let people know that I am the Savior and that one day I'm coming back. He is coming back. And again, the salvation that the author in Hebrews talks about there, that He's going to bring when He comes back, is that salvation that will wipe out sin and death once and for all. Our soon and coming King will take us to an eternal place where we will experience His goodness and glory forever and ever, with no more sin, no more pain, no more hurt, no more sorrow. And I think the most important question when it comes to this reality of Jesus is the question, are we ready? Are we ready? The soon and coming King, we don't know. It says no one knows the day or the hour. When you least expect it, He's coming. Are we ready? Are we ready? Have we confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord? Do we believe in our hearts that He came and died and rose from the grave? Because it says if we believe those things, we will be saved. And if we believe those things, we can look forward to the day when our King returns once and for all. And salvation in and through Him will be complete. Right? Isn't that what it's about? This is what we believe, and this is what it means for us to be Foursquare. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the fact that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we believe that as a denomination, Lord. We believe in Your power that was at work back then, it is still at work today. And we want to be a church that continues to seek You and continues to seek to see You save people, to see You baptize people with the Holy Spirit, to see You heal people, and to be ready when You come back. And so, Lord, I thank You for who we are as Foursquare. I thank You for what Foursquare represents and the things that we can learn from that, from Your Scripture. But, Lord, we also know it's not just about Foursquare. I thank You for the many churches all around us in our community and throughout the world that are seeking you, because that's what it's about, Lord. I love this denomination that we're a part of, but that's not what's important. What's important is whether or not you are our Savior, whether or not we trust in you first and foremost. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this word today. We pray that, Lord, you allow it to speak to each of us right where we're at. Lord, what is it that you want to speak to each of us today? What is it that you wanted to deposit into our lives so that we can grow and be richer for it, Lord? So we thank you for all these things. We give them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.